Right. I just want to give you a little bit of advance notice. This is not for the women. This is for the men. Because you won't have remembered, I guarantee, that on Tuesday, it is Valentine's Day. Okay? On Wednesday, if you've forgotten, your life will not be worth living. So can I just advise you, only one more shopping day left, okay? I'll see you there tomorrow, because I've got to sort this out as well. But just to make sure that you remember. I was interested, I had a look at the web, as you do for these things, and to find out what the worst Valentine's presents that have been given are. And The Guardian actually has a list of the worst Valentine's presents. I don't know whether you agree with them or not, but here it is. Number five, there was at iwantoneofthose.com a gold-plated last Rolo for $39.99. That's a Valentine's present. There you are, if you really want to go out. Number four, apparently Ben Affleck bought J-Lo a diamond-encrusted toilet seat for £155,000. That's a Valentine's present. There you are. Have you got any ideas from this yet? Really, really helpful. Okay. If you wish, for £97, you could buy your loved one the Lover's Leap, which is a bound-together combined bungee jump in London or Manchester or Edinburgh. Okay. Or you could buy your loved one the ESPN's Valentine's Special 8 football match deal, if you wish to do so. I think, blokes, you might not get away with buying that one, I really do. Or, number one, this is a serious suggestion. You could take your loved one to IKEA for the £6.95 meatball and chips Valentine's meal. Not good. Not good, is it? I'll tell you. But actually, Valentine's Day is not really about the presents, is it? It's actually about the declaration of your love to one another. And actually, sometimes, we've got these Valentine's cards, and we open the Valentine's card, and you write inside it all sorts of declarations of our love. And we can make huge declarations, can't we? Sometimes we can write things down there, particularly when we're young, and we really don't really understand these things. And we write things like, I will love you forever, don't we? Or you are always mine. I've got a brilliant illustration of this, and one of my girls won't mind, I hope, doing this. But was given this rose by someone who declared undying love to her. It's actually a plastic rose, as it happens, but I wouldn't have been here if it wasn't. So. But I guarantee that the declaration, well, I do know, because I did ask her, that the declaration of undying love wasn't quite as undying as it was supposed to be. Still got the rose, but there's no idea of love behind it. They've forgotten one another. Now, there's lots of things we've been talking about, about Valentine's Girls Days, but boys and girls, I wonder if you can think of any promises. You know, we can sometimes make promises, can't we? Forget about Valentine's Day. We can make promises which we really don't intend to keep, okay? I'll give you an example of one. Yes, Mum, I will not eat any more chocolate biscuits, okay? Don't intend to keep that. Any other ones you might not intend to keep? Yes? I will always have my room tidy. That's a brilliant one. We all promise that, and no one keeps it. Yeah, I will always have my room tidy. You know, even I've promised that my office, I'll keep my office tidy. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. Okay, and here's another good one, which you tend to promise. Yes, Mum, I will do my homework before I go on the PlayStation. And you close the door of your bedroom, and what's the first thing you do? PlayStation. Yeah, we can make promises, can't we? But we don't really intend to keep those promises. And actually, we're not very good, really, if we think about it, at making promises, are we, at all? You know, in the Bible, God makes some amazing promises. And we've been thinking about promises, and we're going to have a think about some amazing promises that God's made, some big promises that God's made. And I've actually got some people who have just been given some verses, and are going to read out some verses. We're going to think about what God promises. And I will need some people to help me hold up some illustrations at the front, okay, in just a moment. And so, Annie, can you sit up there, please? You don't need to be down there. Is that okay? Good. Okay, we're going to need to, I need people to come past you as well, so I need them to walk past there, so you have to move a little bit anyway. Okay, so we're going to have some promises. Now, the very first verse, okay, that what we've got is in Genesis in chapter 6 and verse 18. Angela's got that, and she's reading it from her phone. Brilliant. Terry's phone, we'll see if this works. Okay, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 18. You don't really need to, you could have read it from there, as long as you shout if you want to. Okay.
But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife and your sons' wives with you.
Brilliant, okay. Now, what was happening? What do we read about in that verse? Maybe tell me yes. Noah's ark, that's right. I need someone to hold this for me. You're going to have to hold it for quite a long time, is that okay? You're going to have to hold it above your head. If you hold it above your head all the time, okay, I promise I'll give you something if you do it really well, okay? So anyway, hold it up there, okay? Okay, so it's about Noah's Ark. You know, the amazing thing about Noah's Ark, is actually God had said he was going to flood the whole world. And yet, God came down to Noah and said to him, I will establish my covenant with you. This is my firm promise with you. You'll enter the ark, you and your sons and your wives, and your sons' wives will be with you. I'm going to rescue you. Now, if there was somebody told you on the weather forecast that there was not going to be snow like we've had this week, or not had this week, unfortunately. I was really looking forward to the snow. But not had snow. But we were going to have a huge flood, and because we're in the Somerset levels, it was going to go so high that we were not going to get away from it. And you would be panicky, wouldn't you? But imagine if someone came along and said to you, but I'm going to rescue you. I promised you I'm going to rescue you. Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? And so we've got, first of all, I'm going to just flip that over. Okay, now you've got to hold that on the edges, really. Okay, how's your arms doing? Brilliant, wonderful, India. I'm going to rescue you. First promise of God is the promise of rescue. Okay, so I want to remember that. Now, the second promise of God is also in Genesis, chapter 9 and verse 12 to 15. Has anybody got Genesis? Vicky, well done.
And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life.
Brilliant. Okay, I need someone to hold my picture. Jacob, you want to hold my picture? Okay. And the picture is of a
rainbow.
That's right. Brilliant. Well done, Isaac. It's a rainbow. And a rainbow was a promise. We just read about it. But anybody know? What did God promise with the rainbow? Anybody know? Anybody know the answer? What did God promise from the rainbow? It's actually up there as well. Lydia, you're brilliant. I know. But anybody else can answer it? No. Oh, God. Well, that's the first one, he'll rescue us, but the second promise of the rainbow, can anybody remember what the promise was? What was it? You need to know this every time you see a rainbow. Never flood the earth again. Well done, Henry, never flood the earth again. And I tell you what, that's a brilliant promise because God promises his protection. God's going to protect us. So God's going to rescue, God's going to protect. It's a wonderful thing to know that we've got someone with it. Isn't it fantastic when you're feeling really nervous? And your mum and dad say to you, don't worry, I'm going to be with you all the time. So much better, isn't it? You see, they're protecting you. And God says, I'm going to protect you. Second promise of God. Third promise of God is Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. Robin, you've got that, have you?
The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
Brilliant. Very well read. Right. Oh, okay. Oh, he's back. That's good. That's good. Okay, so we've got to remember those, you see. How's your arms doing, India? You're okay. That's good. Okay, protection, rescue. I need someone to hold this. Go on. Oh, actually, she's gone. You were going to hold this, weren't you, Shanna? Go on. The other way around, though. Okay, can I turn it around? There we are. Can you hold it like that? Brilliant. Okay, there's an arrow there. You see, because God came to Abraham and said to Abraham, look, I've got something which is really important to tell you about. And he told him about lots of things, but one thing especially that he said to him, he says, I'm going to bless you, and everybody on the whole earth is going to be blessed because of you. You know, this is amazing that God said, actually, you've got a purpose. Can you imagine if someone came to you and said, you're going to do something in your life, and it's going to be a real blessing to everyone who ever lived? You know, has anybody ever said to you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Adults? We never really grew up, do we? Yeah, and we can think of all sorts of things we might be and might do, but actually we don't have a purpose quite like that, do we? We're not going to be a blessing to everyone, so I'm going to just open this up a little bit. You're doing so well, Sheila, because you're holding it very, very high and you're very, very small, so that was really good. Now, you might have to hold it on the side here. Can you do that? If I put your arms... That's it. Brilliant. Oops. You got it. if you hold it a bit higher, that's it. No, just a bit higher on the sheet, because you're going to have sore arms. She is brilliant, isn't she? Absolutely brilliant. Right, okay, so that's the third one. Okay, we've got a fourth one, okay, so this is Genesis chapter 17. Is that 17 verse 7, is that right? Yes, who's got... Oh, well done, okay, Mary, thank you.
I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants.
Brilliant. Okay, he said, I'm going to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. What God came to him and said, I want you to be not just to rescue you, not just to protect you, not just to give you a purpose, but I actually want you to be my people. I want you to be mine. And elsewhere, God says, yeah, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. And God promises that we're his people, or can be his people. I want someone to hold this up. Oh, well done, Lydia, because you did have your hand up. Okay, so God promises we can be his people. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it, when we actually know that we belong to somebody. Sometimes, has anybody got their name sewn in their clothes? No one. Yeah, at the back. Yes. Thank you, Kay. It's good to know a justice of the peace has got there. And sometimes your mum, if you go to school, they sew your name in your clothes, don't they? So show that belongs to you. And God says, we actually belong to God. So we've got rescue protection, we've got purpose, and we've got the fact that we're his people. And there's one other thing that God says, and this is Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2 to 4. Who's got Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 to 4? Somebody, Hesha.
And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage. Therein they were strangers.
Wonderful. He says, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you a land. Oh, well done, William. Come on. Okay. You can hold that. Okay. And so, now if you flip the bottom up a little bit down, we can see what it's about. It's about a place. Now, actually, I managed to get virtual peas, didn't I? I didn't. The first one I couldn't get a pea for. But we've got here. Oh, hello, Isha. We've got here rescue. And we've got here protection. And we've got here purpose. And we've got people. And we've got a place God promised them. He was going to give them a place. You know, it's fantastic when you've got a place to go, especially for these people, because God's people were slaves. They didn't have anything. But God said, I'm going to give you something. It's going to be a place. And it's going to be the very best place. You know, once Anne and I went on holiday with the children. And we were in France. And we had to go and stay overnight just by where you get the ship. And we thought to ourselves, not a problem, there'll be plenty of spaces, we'll find something when we get there. Well, we came up and we got to Saint Malo and we were looking around, I think at Cherbourg actually, we were looking around for a place in a hotel. Every place we went past said, no vacancies. No vacancies. And we went and we searched and we searched and we searched, and eventually the sun was setting, so what I had to do is I had to find a car park, and we had to flatten the luggage as much as possible. And we all had to sleep overnight in the car. And so every year afterwards, we have made sure that we, for every night, book somewhere to stay. Because it's good to have a place. And tell you, when you don't have a place, you know how bad it is not to have a place. And God has said, he's got a place. He's got a place as well. One last promise that we have a look at, and that should be Exodus 19, verses 5 to 6. Oh, Steph, well done.
Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites.
Brilliant. He says, you're going to be my treasured possession. I wonder what you treasure most. Have you got a place where you keep all the things which are most treasured for you? Well, actually, God says, go on, Henry, come on. You can come up here. God says, you've got that up that way round. Okay, that we're God's, we're his treasured possession. And we can be his. You know, these are wonderful, wonderful promises for us. Where he can rescue us, he can protect us, that he's got purpose for us. We're his people, he's got a place for us, and we're his possession. He treasures us. These are God's promises to us. But you know, actually, there's one thing which I've got to tell you about these promises. Is actually these promises, which are ever so wonderful, are actually all promises which are conditional. You see, the Bible tells us that the God is a God who keeps his covenant of love, all these promises, to 1,000 generations, forever, to those who will believe him, but those who will love him and keep his commandments. Okay, now, these folk at the front, I asked them to do something. What would I ask you to do at the very start, India? Hold this up, that's right. And has it been hard holding it up? Yeah, your arm's sore. It's very, very sore. Did she drop it at all any time during the time? Did she not? Wow, it's very good. Jacob, did you drop yours down any time? Okay, well, Oceana, yes, okay. Did you drop it down? No, did you drop it down? No, did you drop it down? You've only just had it. That's really good. Actually, they've done ever so well. And actually, what I want to do, I've actually got a prize for you all afterwards, because I said, okay, that if you did that for me, okay, I would give you something afterwards. And I promised it, didn't I? And you kept the promise, which is brilliant. So you can put them all down now and you can go back to your seats, okay, because they kept the promise. But actually, God says that we've got to keep his commandments. Now, I want to think about his commandments. What are God's commandments? What does God tell us we mustn't do? What's 10 commandments? Anybody know any of the 10 commandments? What does God tell us we mustn't do? Anybody know? Nobody knows. Oh, is it? Right, Sunday school, you know what to do. Okay. Any adults, what must we do? Okay.
Mustn't
steal. Brilliant, Rosie. Don't worship any other god or idol. That's actually really important. What that means is don't put anything in front of God. Don't make anything more special than God. And God tells us we mustn't do that. Anybody else?
Remember the Sabbath
day. Keep it holy. God's day, yes. Keep it holy. Honor your parents. Brilliant. Has anybody here ever thought, oh, I really don't like my mum and dad? Ooh. Oh, there's one is even more. Now, yeah, go on. You know it? Sorry? Don't kill anybody. Anybody? No, go there. Yes? But trust God is good. That's a good thing to do, but that's kind of the whole of the commandment. You know, there's one which I know that I break all the time, sadly, even though I try my very best not to. You know, it says in the commandments not to bear false witness. In other words, not to tell lies. Okay? How many of us have ever told lies? How many of us have actually ever stolen? How many of us have, you know, the don't murder, brilliant one, but actually Jesus said that means don't even think about horrible thoughts about other people in your mind. Who's done that? You know, every one of us has broken his commandments, and that's a big problem because God says that these are only for those who keep his commandments. But I've actually got one last verse that we've got to read out. And so, who's got my Isaiah verse? Rosie, brilliant.
Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David.
Wonderful. And what God does is he knows that we can't do it. He knows that we've broken his commandments. He says we can't have all these wonderful promises if we've broken his commandments. So what he did is he decided to do something about it for himself. And what he did is, it says in this verse, he says, I will make an everlasting covenant, a promise that can never be broken with you. And it's about faithful love will go on. And it's promised to my servant David. And what was his servant David? Well, David was a king, wasn't he? But there was a promise to David that one of his sons would come and he would rule forever. And it was talking about the Lord Jesus. And you know, the Lord Jesus came. And the Lord Jesus lived the perfect life. Every one of the commandments he kept, everything that he did was perfect all the way through. But you know, the Lord Jesus went and he died on a cross for us. And this is the last one. It's another P. What does it say at the bottom of it? It says peace, doesn't it? Because he came to bring peace between us and God so that we're right with God, so that every one of his promises can be for you and I. Now, I want to ask you this morning, actually, have you broken his commandments? I know you have. Okay. But I want to ask you something even more. Do you know that Jesus came to live the perfect life that you can't live? He came to die for you so that you can have all these promises for yourself. And they are wonderful, wonderful promises. You go back to them. A promise to rescue you. He'll rescue you from all the horrible things that you have done. A promise to protect you. He's going to be with you forever and never, ever leave you. A promise for a purpose. He's going to make you to do your very best so you can bring him glory in your life. He promised that he will be your God and you will be his people. That you're God's all the way through your life. The promise of a place. You know, God promises that one day we are going to go and we've got a place in heaven. And the promise of a possession that we are God's and he will never, ever, ever let us go. And that's God's peace. That's God's peace. And all of these promises are for you. You know what you have to do to know these promises for yourself? Well, I want to say there's just three things that you need to do this morning. These are very simple. The first thing is you've got to admit you can't keep your part of the bargain. We can't keep his commandments. We've got to admit that we're wrong. We've got to believe that Jesus was sent to live the perfect life and to die for me. And we've got to confess that Jesus Christ is the one who needs to be Lord of our life. And how do we do that? We just come and we pray very simply. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. I thank you for coming and living that perfect life for me. I thank you for all those wonderful promises. And I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. And that's when you come and you give your life to him. Some of you might receive a card, something like this, in a few days' time. I wonder if you opened the card and it said to you, I'm going to rescue you from all the guilt and shame and wrong you've ever done. I'm going to give you a purpose in your life which is like nothing that you could ever imagine. I'm going to promise a place to you so that when you can come to the end of your life and when you die, you can come to be with me. You're going to be my possession. And I'm going to love you with an everlasting love. And you're going to love me because I'm going to put that love in your heart. You know, you'd be pretty impressed with that Valentine's card, wouldn't you? But you see, we know that whoever wrote that couldn't keep those promises. It would be like this rose and forgotten. But we have a God who keeps those promises. So we praise him. Lord God, we want to thank you and praise you for your magnificent and many promises to us. And Father, we thank you that every one of them is yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that those of us who know you, that you'd help us all the more every day to rejoice in the wonder of your promises. Father, that we might walk by faith and not by sight. Father, that we might go confident and bold into this week. And into all that you have for us to do, aware that we are the bearers of your purpose to bring glory to your name. And Father, so help us to live for you. And Father, we pray for those here who do not yet know you as their Savior, to whom all these things are foreign, and yet they realize this morning for the first time that they're not right with you, that they haven't kept your commandments, that they can't know this for themselves. Oh, Father, we pray that this morning that they would turn to you and come to know you as their Savior. And so be with us, we pray. Bless us in the coming week and in the weeks ahead as we stand on the promises that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.